Glad to see everybody out this morning. I'd like to take this opportunity to say how thankful I am to be able to be up here in front of you this morning and thank the elders and Mike for giving me the opportunity to be up here. Now, there are many places in this world that people like to go and see. Me personally, I have about three places I like to go. I like to go visit Alaska, Ireland, and several states out west, but that's about as far as my extent of traveling goes that I would like to travel. But as I was mentioning those places, you may have thought about something, different places that you would like to go. Now, there are many different reasons why people want to go to the places that they would like to go. But there's one place that we all need to want to go to, and that's heaven. Now, there are some skeptics out in this world today that say that heaven's not real. But this morning, I'd like to take a look at Scripture and see what Scripture tells us about heaven. In Matthew 6:20, Jesus tells us, But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So that mentions heaven. And Paul, through the Holy Spirit, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So that talks about heaven or heavens. Now, Paul, again through the Spirit, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you've heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Yet again, it talks about heaven. So, just from those three passages, and there's many more, we know that heaven is a real place. But this morning, I want to look at, though, why we should want to go to heaven one day. Well, first of all, it's a happy place, because that's where our God and Savior are at. And since that's our heavenly home here on earth, we have our earthly home. Well, we all like to be at home, because that's where our loved ones are at. And if we want to be with the ones we love, then we will be at home, and home should be a happy place to be. And you know, we even sing that song, "This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just Passing Through." And of course, how right that is, though. Because see, the Christian's true home is in heaven. And so we should want to go home to be with those whom we love and adore and worship, and then we'll be happy. But there's some other reasons, though, I want to look at that we know that heaven's a happy place. If you'd like to follow along, be looking at Revelation 21, verses 26 through 27. Revelation 21, 26 through 27. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it, that is heaven, anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So what that's telling us there is that sin's not going to enter heaven. And I hate sin. Like most of you, I'm sure all of you hate sin. Because it's sin that causes us to be unhappy. It causes us to be separated from God. And it causes us, most importantly, to lose our soul. But like you, I fight against the devil every day and the temptations to sin. But in heaven, again, we will not have to worry about sin. There'll be no tears in heaven. There'll be no death, no sorrow, no crying, and no pain. So we should want to go to heaven because it's a happy place. Next, heaven's a beautiful place. And I tell you, I've seen a lot of beautiful things in my travels with Tyson, because I drive anywhere from 700 to 800 miles a week through Middle Tennessee, and so I get to see a lot of beautiful things, and I have seen a lot of beautiful things, and I'm sure all of you have too as well. But the beauty we see here, though, my friends, is definitely incomparable to the beauty that we'll see in heaven. Because Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So its beauty is just indescribable. We would never fathom how beautiful heaven would be. Because it's referred to in Revelation 2:7 as the paradise of God. And when we think of paradise, we think of trees hanging over the roads and like palm trees and stuff, all the beautiful things that one would think about paradise. So if we think of things on earth as paradise, then imagine what God has made heaven if he refers to heaven as paradise. So we should want to go to heaven because it's a beautiful place. And it's a restful place. Because this old world can just wear people down, because all the things we must do every day we should choose to do to be pleasing to God, making a living, etc. And all the spiritual work that we are to do, all the temptations we are to overcome, all the trials that we face in our life. But we still have to press on despite the problems and despite the burdens that we bear when living in this world. Now in 2 Timothy, if you'd like to follow along, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sorry, one chapter off here. Chapter 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So that tells us this old world is going to be very hard. But also I'd like to take a look in Matthew chapter 5. Because if Jesus tells us that we will suffer persecution, although we may not suffer like the apostles did and other Christians did back in the day, we do face some persecution from time to time. But in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 11, it says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. So if we get persecuted, then we ought to be blessed. We ought to take it as being blessed, because we know that we are not living as the world is, that we are living godly. And despite all that, we will have rest in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So the comparison is made here of God working and resting when he created everything. And the point also is being that as we live here, we are to labor and work for God now. And knowing that in heaven we will have rest for the people, for God's chosen people, a Christian. So we should want to go to heaven because it's a place of rest. Next, it's a place of answers. Because there's many things in this world that we just can't answer. And our feeble minds couldn't even conceive some of these things. And God, for whatever reason, chose not to reveal some of these things to us. In Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So to have our questions answered, we have to go to heaven. But, again, while we are here, we have to walk by faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, faith, we are told in Hebrews 11:1, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So the things that we are hoping for, which is heaven, we will have in heaven. But in what we can't see now, we will see clearly in heaven, because we will have our questions answered. So we should want to go to heaven because it's a place of answers. Now also, heaven is a place of happy reunions. And now, we all have loved ones that are no longer with us, but we may have a picture to remind us of them, or we have our memories of them. But all those things can't bring them back. And all those things don't take away the longing that we have for our loved ones who has left us. But if they died in the Lord and we remain faithful until the end, we will see them again in heaven. See, now Paul understood this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you'd like to follow along. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep with Jesus. Now David understood this. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. But now he is dead, referring to his son that he had with Bathsheba that the Lord took. But he says, but now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So we remain faithful. We will see our loved ones if they died in the Lord. We just have to strive to do God's will every single day. And of course, we need to understand this too, because we may have to be apart from our loved ones for 20, 30 years, 40 years, maybe even longer, a little less. But it's really nothing in comparison to eternity. So we should want to go to heaven so, like you, I can see my loved ones once again. Now, we should want to go to heaven because we shouldn't want to go to hell. Because I remember a preacher telling me one time that he was talking with this person and he was studying with him about baptism and everything. And the person hearing, or the person that was being taught, asked the preacher this question. He said, so my family is in hell right now. Well, before the preacher could answer appropriately, the person asking the question, he said, well, that's where I want to go. I want to go to hell with my family. And that is a true story. And that's very sad, I mean, very, very, very sad. And unfortunately, to the best of my knowledge, that person didn't obey the gospel. But we know that hell is a terrible place. We can see that in Mark chapter 9. Mark 9, verse 43 through 48. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Now, Jesus doesn't mean literally we go and cut off our hand, pluck out our eye, cut off our foot. But the point that he's making here is that it would be better to do that than go to hell. So he's saying that hell is a very terrible place to go. Now in Matthew 25, verse 41, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, it's also going to be a place of wailing of gnashing of teeth. And in Matthew, back a few chapters, in verse 13, we can see this, starting in verse 41. Matthew 13, verse 41. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I don't know if we can even imagine what wailing and gnashing of teeth could be, but I don't think we want to experience that. So, now, like heaven, hell's going to be a place of reunions, unfortunately. But they won't be happy ones. Because hell's not a place that's happy, beautiful, a restful place. It will be a place that will answer the question if hell is real. And there will be people there who will realize the reality of the Bible, the reality of the punishment, the reality of the missed opportunities to obey the gospel, the reality of all those who said something to them on this side of eternity's door. But it'll be too late, though. But heaven, you see, is a prepared place for prepared people. So we have to do something to get to heaven. We have to bring our will into harmony with God's and obey His commands before we leave this world. And then we have to meet with the saints every service to worship and praise Almighty God. And you have to live on your spiritual side, even though we are fleshly. And we have to walk in the light all of our days, realizing the dependence on God. So this morning, I want to ask, are you prepared? If you're not prepared for heaven, then the first thing you must do is be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. But now, if you have already been baptized and you have fallen back into the world and need the prayers of the congregation, I'd ask that you would all come forward as we stand and sing.